Very good. And it's good singing. And it's good for you to be here. And it's a wonderful privilege to share the gospel. And it is a privilege, but it's a responsibility as well. And so we're going to read in the first book of your Bible. We're going to read a couple portions, and we'll just speak a few words on them. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I read this account of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, really the word is he tested Abraham. God is not an evil person trying to make us sin. He tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. It was a test. He didn't want him to... Let's just continue reading. Verse 3. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass or his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so, this is a word I want to think about before we continue. It's a word that's not found in your Bible, but it's a word that has truth. All the truth of it is all found through the Bible. In fact, this is how I became a Christian. This one word, substitution. To take the place of someone or something, and so that person is free. One takes the place and the other person does not have to do that. So you have a substitute teacher. When I was in school, sometimes we had French substitutes and then you could mix them up with the names and they would ask for someone and it's just, they cause problems. But we don't want, this is a substitute that is provided by God for you so you don't have to go die and go to hell. And when I realized that, it was such a realization, I just loved it. And I said, Jesus died for me. He was on the cross for me. Let's turn over to Luke 23, please. Luke chapter 23. Excuse me. Luke 23 and verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, this is another place. And in fact, if you looked Mount Moriah, where we just read about in Genesis 22, you would find it to be very close, if not the same place as the place called Calvary. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Imagine, they crucified him. They just drove spikes through his hands and his feet after the scourge, after the spittle, after the crown of thorns, and after all their humiliation of him. And now they just hung him on a cross and he says, Father, forgive them. What love. For they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And that fulfilled scripture. Now, let's go down to verse number 44. Verse number 44. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He voluntarily died. And the centurion, when he saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, absolutely helpless, weak, inability to help ourselves, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ died for the ungodly. I'll say that again, those five words. Christ died for the ungodly. I'm going to go down to verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. Look at the cross. That shows the heart of my heart and your heart. But it also shows the love of God. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that an amazing thing? Christ stepped into our place. If you're a sinner here, you've never been born again. If you've never realized why Jesus came into this world, we trust and we pray that you will understand that he came just for you. It wasn't the person around you. It was just for you. He came to deal with your problem. He came to deal with my problem. He came to deal with our problem. And our problem is the fact that we are sinners. We have sin. We have that thing that is absolutely... God cannot bring us into heaven with sin. Sin is disobedience. Sin is not being raising to a perfect, a standard of perfection. Sin is the fact that if you know something is right and you should do it and you don't do it, that's sin. Sin is doing something that you shouldn't do. Sin is thinking something that you shouldn't think. Sin is doing anything that is contrary to the holiness of God. And every single one of us has to admit we all have come short. We all have sinned. And this was my upbringing when I was young. When I was went through Sunday school, I had my own Bible. I remember my first one. I pretty much tore up the covers and did a whole bunch of things. I put them Bible stickers all through it. My own Bible. I knew Bible verses. Perhaps you know Bible verses. I knew this verse right over here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He loves you, that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are 12 words about God, 12 words about me, and Son in the center. Verse 16, John 3. God loves every single one in the world. And, you know, the way I was brought up, we were never thought to look down on anybody, and yet it was my very nature to think myself was a little higher than the next guy. You know, I didn't do the things that those other people in the class did. I wouldn't go to, you know, I wouldn't do, I was, you know, I go to Sunday school. I have that's the sin of pride. That's a sin in itself. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was a bad person. I've done bad things. No one had to convince me. But, you know, I wasn't the sinner. I wasn't, not that bad. Because I was comparing myself to others instead of looking at God and saying, you're going to go to hell because you're a sinner. It never came to my mind that way. And so I'd go to gospel meetings like this. We go to Bible conferences, like the Easter conference that just passed. We go to all the different conferences, and we always had a good time. We enjoyed. But, boys, I knew I was a sinner. And I knew that God was going to send, the Lord Jesus was going to come to the air, and all the Christians were going to be caught up someday, soon, and I was going to be left behind if I wasn't saved. And if I was left behind, then that's it. No more salvation for me. That scared me. The other thing that scared me was, if I die in my sins, I cannot go to heaven, and I will go to hell if I die as my sin, my sins. When I was 5 years old, we may not have had the most reliable vehicles around. However, I was tired after a meeting at the hall, the gospel hall, and I was brought up in Tatamagush, Nova Scotia, so just a small little community. I think Galeria might be bigger. However, I was just in that. I went up to the car, and I was tired. So I curled up right underneath, right to the door, and I went fast asleep. Everybody else come in later, my uncle and my mom and dad, and there, everybody just filed in, and I was sitting, and mom's right beside me, my mother, and we pulled out of the park driveway, and the door wasn't exactly reliable, and I was relying on it, and that door flew open, and I was asleep, and I went out that door, rolled out onto the pavement, and the car ran over my foot, the back didn't hurt it, just ran over it. And then as soon as my uncle realized, he stopped, and my dad jumped out of the car, and he came around to me, and he said, "Are you okay? Everything's okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." But I didn't tell them. As soon as I woke up, I looked up the street, and this thought, I'm 5 years old, and this thought came into my mind. If a car comes over that hill, you're in the oncoming lane, and if a car comes over that hill, you will be in hell. And that was just like an arrow that came right into me. I'm not saved. I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready for heaven. I haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. I haven't acknowledged my sin And that was one time God spoke to me. Because that's not just something you think about. And I still remember it. A couple years later, I was saved at 7. A couple years later, and I said to my cousin, I don't know what time of year it was, in the fall, there was snow on the ground, so it was kind of cold, but we were outside, and most of the people were inside. And I said to my cousin Jason, I said, "I'm just going to go in there and get saved." Just like that. This is just the way it is. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is how it's going to happen. I'm going to go in that door, and I'll say, "Dad, I want to be saved." And Dad will say, "Do you believe you're a sinner?" And I'll say, "Oh, yeah, I believe." And he'll say, "Do you believe that Jesus died for sinners?" And I'll say, "Oh, yes." And that'll be it. I'll be saved. So I went in the door. I went up the steps in the door, and Dad was standing at the first landing. So then it was divided. You could go downstairs or up. And I said to Dad, I said, "Dad, I'd like to be saved." And so my dad, he turned to this preacher. I don't know if anybody know here of Mr. Sam Patton. I would love to have heard him more now. However, but I was nervous of him because he was a big preacher from Ontario, and we always had to be super, super nice when he was around, so I was scared. And my dad said, "My son wants to talk to you." I said, "No, he's lying. I don't want to talk to him." No, in the hall too, of all places. He lied to the preacher. Anyway, he said, "Do you want to talk to me here in the hall or at home?" And I said, "Well, I'm scared of the preacher, so I'll speak to him at home. Perhaps I'll get saved in the car and then I don't have to speak to him at all." So we went on and we're driving home about 10 minutes away. And I remember looking out at different houses and I'm like, I know this stuff. I know the Bible. I know the gospel. I know how to be saved. Jesus died for sinners. I'm not saved. And you know it too. I know that if I don't accept the Lord Jesus, I'll be in hell. I know these verses like, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm not saved. It just couldn't. And so we got home, right down into the bedroom. We got talking, and I know he spoke many different verses in the Bible. He asked me questions. He would read a verse and say, "What does that mean to you?" Or something like, "What about Isaiah 53? He was wounded for our transgressions." Who is that? Well, that's Jesus. Who was he wounded for? Our transgressions. Does that include you? I guess so. And I wasn't just... Was he wounded for your transgressions? On the cross, why did the Lord Jesus die? If you had to ask us at the end of the meeting here, we said, why did Jesus die? What would you tell us? He died for sinners? Mm-hmm. He died for the world? Yeah. How about in this building? Anyone he died for here? He died for you, yeah. He died for me. What about the person, if you go home and you look into the mirror, did he die for that person? If you look in the mirror, did he die for that person? You know, if I was to put a word reserved on every seat here, and it said reserved for sinners, for a sinner, If we were to put that on every single seat, would you sit on the seat? I wonder. So Mr. Patton was reading me these verses and asking me questions, and he would say, "Do you know you're a sinner? Do you ask?" I say, "Yes." And he talked for a bit, and I really don't remember. But I do remember some of the parts that he spoke to me about. And then I remember my mom saying, "Well, would we have a snack? It's kind of getting late." So he said, "Well, it's okay." He said, "But let's just wait." He said, "Before we go up there, we're going to pray." I said, "Oh, okay. So we'll pray." So he started talking to God and asking God to save me. And I'm down on my knees, and I wasn't really thinking about what he was saying. Here's what I was thinking. You have a Bible. Your mom and dad are saved. That doesn't make you a Christian. Having a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Knowing Bible verses doesn't make you a Christian. It makes you more responsible. Knowing how to be saved, I thought my brother was saved, and it turns out he wasn't, but I thought he was saved. He's saved. And I said, no one can save you. Mom and dad can't save me. This preacher even can't save me from Ontario. I said, there's no hope. You're just going to have to go to hell because no one can save you. I just ran out of options in my head. I just went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom. And I came, whoa. And he's praying. And I said, in my mind, you have no hope. There is no way you're going to get saved. You have everything available to you. You listen to the gospel every Sunday night. You know all these Bible verses, and you're not saved. And in my mind, I just came to this point. Dale, you'll have to go to hell. And that was an eye-opener. And in fact, it was just like looking into a black hole where there's no light. And just the next moment, the thought came to my mind, well, that's why Jesus died. And it just kind of went all together like this. And I pictured in my mind the Lord Jesus on a cross, and it was for me. Wouldn't that be nice if someone came to our meetings and I realized it was for me? The whole reason why he came, he left heaven, came down to this world, he died on a cross, and he took my place. Sometimes we sing, "In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a savior." I think we sang that maybe this morning or earlier. But we would long for you to not just have a story, but to experience God's love in shedding his truth that Jesus died for you. Yeah, we are the sinners. We deserve eternal judgment, but that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world. He came for you. He came for you. He came for each one on this side. He came for those in the middle who are not saved. He came for those on the left-hand side who are not saved. He came for everybody in the whole world, and he made that one sacrifice for sins forever. And it was a sacrifice. It cost him his very life on the cross. And when he rose again, God was showing proof positive that he was satisfied with the work that the Lord Jesus did, that God raised him from the dead. And where is the Lord Jesus now? He's in heaven. He's on the throne, very right in the throne of heaven. And he's coming again to the air to take us away soon, those who he's saved. Will you go? Or will you stay? We wish, just like you've heard at the beginning of our meeting, everything is ready. The whole salvation is just right there. It's absolutely free to you. In fact, the Bible calls it, it's a gift. We receive a gift. But it costs God everything. It costs God absolutely everything so that to provide a free salvation for you, because we cannot pay anything. We cannot pay one red cent. They don't make them anymore. We cannot pay anything. And all we can only do is trust. All we long for you to trust him. We long for you to realize who Jesus died for. So even as the meeting comes to a close, and we sing one more hymn, would you put your trust in him? That's what it means to believe. Would you rely on him? Don't rely on a speaker or a certain doctrine at some church. No, no, no. Get your Bible out. Ask God yourself, is this true? Open the Bible and read it and ask him to show himself to you. Read Romans chapter 5. It's a wonderful chapter. Read Romans chapter 3. All guilty before God. Read Romans chapter 4. How are we justified? How are we made right with God? How can a man be right with God? Oh, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to close in a word of prayer. And thank you so much for listening. And we'll pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. It's hard to believe that such a story can be told, that the very God of heaven would send his Son to die on a cross for sinners. We thank thee for this. It's a true story. We can read that it's reliable, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We long, if there's any sinners here not saved, that they will just claim that place as a sinner, and they'll search for the Lord Jesus, because he's the only Savior of sinners. So we ask thy blessing, thou part us. With thy blessing, we acknowledge that we need thee to speak and move and work in our lives. So we ask thee to do this, and we ask thy blessing upon each one here. Help us to sing another hymn as we close and give thanks in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.